It's tuned to Yesterday Broadcasting programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark LeVillier. Lots of laughs in this hour with comedy broadcasts of the Gulf Screen Guild Theater and right now the Jack Benny program. Originally heard on CBS, this Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast from May 4th, 1952.
Livingston, Solaris, Rochester, Dennis Day, the Sportsman Quartet, and yours truly, Don. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let's go out to Jack Benny's home in Beverly Hills, where we find Rochester working as usual.
I sure have a lot to do. Every day it's the same thing. Work, work, work.
Work, work, work.
Quiet, Polly. I wouldn't mind, but I never seem to get finished. Got to do the dishes, though. It's much against my wishes.
You're a slow, Paul.
Got to do the chopping. Mr. Benny keeps me hopping.
You're a slow, Paul.
There's a parrot here who constantly picks on me. He's gonna wind up in a frigazee.
Rochester. Rochester, what are you doing to Polly?
Nothing, boss.
Oh, Rochester, bring me a screwdriver, will you, please?
Yes, sir. Here you are, boss.
Thank you. I just have to tighten this last screw and I'll have the phonograph all fixed.
But, boss, this phonograph has been broken for months. Why are you so anxious to fix it?
Because Dennis Day sent over a record that he made, especially for me to hear. Gee, I can't understand what's wrong with this phonograph. I tried to fix it once before.
Well, boss, maybe if I took this and I...
Oh, Rochester, now look what you've done. You knocked the horn off. And you tipped over the dog, too. Watch it, will you, kid?
I'm sorry, boss. Let's take another look at the motor and see what's wrong.
Okay. Hey, wait a minute. Here's a loose wire. I see where it's supposed to go. I'll just take it and put it in. Pull out the plug! Pull out the plug! Boy, what a shock I got. Yeah, I'll bet my hair is standing on end.
Should I go in your bedroom and see?
Don't be funny. There, the wire's fixed. Put in the plug and we'll play some other record before we put on Dennis's. What have we got in the album?
Let's see. I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles. Dardanella. The Sheik of Araby, Keep the Home Fires Burning, Katie, and After the Ball is Over.
No, I don't want to spoil those. Play some of the older ones. Go ahead.
Boss, any records older than these are on cylinders.
Oh, well, put some of these on. I want to try it out.
Yes, sir. Shall I put in a new needle?
Oh, no, Rochester. See, the needle we have was guaranteed to play 1,000 records, and we only used it 873 times.
What a memory.
Memory nothing. Count the notches on the side of the phonograph. Now let's turn it on. Come in. Oh, hello, Mary.
Hello, Jack. You told me you're going to take me to the boys' baseball game, and I came over, and you're not even ready.
Well, I'll be ready in a minute.
Well, why are you fooling around with that phonograph?
Because Dennis sent me a record of the song he's going to sing on the program. I want to hear it, and this darn thing is broken again.
Oh, Jack, why don't you get rid of that old piece of junk and buy a new one?
Oh, Mary, this phonograph isn't so old.
Go on, Edison's fingerprints are still on it.
What?
And she means Edison the boy.
Oh, stop. Now, look, Mary, if I want antiques in my house, that's my business.
You and your antiques. You ought to have your whole house done over.
Done over?
Yes. Did you watch television yesterday and see what they've done to the White House? How beautiful they've made it?
Yeah, I saw it. See, I thought that tour through the White House was very interesting. But there was one thing I couldn't get over.
What was that?
Well, there's a doctor's office right in the White House, and 24 hours a day, a doctor and his staff are always on duty.
Well, that's right, Jack. President Truman has his own personal doctor.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. Wouldn't it be cheaper if he belonged to the Blue Cross?
You would think of that.
What?
I thought it was wonderful the way the entire nation was invited to the White House. And President Truman even played the piano.
What did he play, Miss Livingston?
When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back.
He did not. Did he?
No, of course not.
Say, boss, I think I fixed the phonograph.
Good, good.
Well, come on, Jack. If we're going to the ball game, let's get started.
In a minute, I want to hear Dennis's record. Rochester, put Dennis's record on.
Yes, sir.
What song is it, Jack?
Well, Dennis made a special recording for me to hear. It's Irving Berlin's new song called For the Very First Time. Play it, Rochester.
For the first time, I'm head over heels in love. For the very first time, I know that the last time was everything else but love. Next time, my romancing days are all through. All my love affairing was simply preparing to love for the first time you. Simply preparing to love for the first time.
Say, Mary, that new Irving Berlin song was very good, and I never heard Dennis in better voice.
Well, I thought he was swell.
I thought I was wonderful.
Dennis, when did you get here?
Well, my record was on.
Well, why didn't you say something?
When Dennis Day sings, nobody interrupts, Junior.
Dennis, I
was... Just a second. Everybody wants to get into the act. How do you like that?
Dennis.
It's a catastrophe.
Now cut that out! And take off that putty nose. Now, Dennis, why did you send me a record if you were coming over here anyway?
I thought I wouldn't be able to come.
I got Durante on for nothing.
You see, I was supposed to go to Nevada on some secret government work.
You? That's why you didn't come here? I mean, you were going to Nevada for secret government work. What were you supposed to do?
Just stand still.
Why?
They were going to drop a bomb on me.
Dennis, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
Oh, you're just mad because they didn't ask you.
Yeah, I'm mad.
Jack, let's go or we'll be late for the ball game.
All right, come on. Oh, gosh, it's hot out today.
It certainly is.
I'll say. This morning, my uncle fried an egg on the sidewalk.
What? Dennis, you mean your uncle...
Mary, let it alone.
But, Jack, he said...
I know what he said. He said his uncle fried an egg on the sidewalk.
Yesterday, he fried an egg on the sidewalk, too.
Really?
Mary, I'm warning you.
The day before that, my uncle fried an egg on the sidewalk, too.
Well, it's been hot all week.
Yeah, so he fried eggs on the sidewalk.
My uncle hopes it rains tomorrow.
Why?
For a change, he'd like poached eggs.
Mary, you...
I didn't ask
him. I asked him. Look, Dennis, Mary and I are going to the ball game. Do you want to go with us or not?
I'd like to, but I can't.
Good. Come on, Mary, let's go to the game.
Jack, who's playing today?
Los Angeles and Seattle. Let's see, we have seats 1 and 2, aisle 15. Where's aisle 15?
I don't know. Why don't you ask the usher?
Nah, I can't. I can find it. Come on.
Hot dogs, get your red hots here.
Mary, here's aisle 15, but I don't see our seats.
Jack, why don't you ask an usher?
I'm not going to ask anybody. I always get into arguments with ushers. Besides, wait a minute, there are our seats. He looks like somebody's sitting in them. You wait here, I'll go and ask him to leave.
Okay.
Excuse me, mister, but I think you're sitting in my...
Hey, Rube!
Huh? Oh, nice seeing you again.
Same here, shake.
Sure.
Don't squeeze too hard. That's my milking hand.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you come all the way from Calabasas just to see the ball game?
No, I had to come in on business from a farm.
Business?
Yep. Came in to buy a new incubator to hatch our chicks.
Incubator, huh?
Yeah. I don't go for them newfangled things myself, but my wife insisted we get one.
She did?
Yeah. She said she was tired of taking the eggs to bed with us.
Oh.
Personally, I like it. You wake up in the morning feeling like a mother.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. Now, look, there seems to be some mix-up here. I think you're sitting in my seat.
No, well, I'm in the right seat.
But look at my ticket stubs.
Let's see. Seats 1 and 2, aisle 15. Wait a minute. This is the left aisle 15. You want the right aisle.
Oh, yes, my mistake. Well, I better be getting along. The game will be
just a minute. I'd like to have you meet my wife.
Your wife?
Yeah. Honey, this is Jack Benny.
Well, how do you do?
Hello, handsome. I'm very happy to meet you.
Well, this is your wife?
Yep. Ain't as much of a hick as you thought I was.
I'll say you're not. Well, goodbye.
So long, Rube.
Jack, what happened?
They weren't our seats. This is the left side of the park. Ours are on the right side. Come on, let's hurry. The Seattle team is coming out on the field.
Put on your glasses. That's Don Wilson.
Oh, hello, Don.
Hello, Jack. Mary.
Hello, Don. Do you come to the games often?
Mary, I haven't missed a game this season. I love baseball.
He sure does, Mary. You know, Don used to play with Denver. That's before he went into radio.
That's right, Mary. I played baseball for 3 years.
What position?
I covered center field.
You ain't kidding. Don. Hey, Don.
Tell Murray about the time you won the game when you slid into home plate.
Oh, Jack, I'd rather not. I'm embarrassed.
I don't blame you. Tell me, did they ever find that catcher? What a mess that was. You know, I'll never forget. Hey, I think the game is going to start pretty soon.
Jack, what are they booing about?
Oh, the umpires are coming out on the field. People always do that.
Oh, by the way, Don, would you happen to know where right aisle 15 is?
Oh, I don't, Jack. Why don't you ask an usher?
Never mind. We'll find it ourselves.
Okay.
Come on, Mary.
Okay.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen. The batteries for today's game. For Seattle, Kinsfather and Shams. For Los Angeles, Chandler and Lade.
You know, Mary, this should really be a great game today.
Hot dogs. Hey, y'all. Get your red hot here.
Say, Jack, before we sit down, how about getting some hot dogs?
Well.
Aw, come on, Jack. You only live once.
Gee, I never thought of it that way. Well, all right. Say, fellow.
Yeah?
How much are your hot dogs?
25 cents each.
Hmm. 25 cents each? How come they're so high?
Well, it's this way. Recently, the price of steel went up, so when a farmer buys a plow to raise corn, he has to pay more money for the plow. Then the cattle and hog breeders have to pay more money for the corn, which they use for feed. Then the meat packing houses have to pay more money for the meat. And this price raise is ultimately passed on to the consumer. The same thing holds true for the flour they use to make the rolls. So since the price of the rolls and the meat have both gone up, the price of hot dogs is 25 cents.
Oh.
I was prepared for you this year, Mr. Benny.
Look,
last year you drove me nuts with your dickering.
Look, fella.
Hey, don't you never buy nothing without getting sealed bids.
Never mind that. Just give me two hot dogs.
Okay. What do you want on them?
See, I don't know. What have you got on those?
Everything. I just dropped them.
Well, then give me two fresh ones.
Okay, here you are.
Thanks.
That'll be 50 cents.
Let me see. Have you got change for a $20 bill?
Yeah, I'm prepared for that one, too.
Never mind. Just give me my change.
Yeah, here you are. Hot dogs, hot dogs. Get your red hot chair.
Come on, Mary. Let's find our seat.
Attention, please. There has been a change in the batteries for Seattle. Nagy will pitch instead of Kinsfather.
Just a minute, Mary. I think this is the aisle we want. No, we're 15 and this is 24.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Jack. Why don't you...
Well, hiya, Libby.
Oh, hello, Phil.
Taking the old man to the ball game, eh? Hiya, Rube. Hey, Libby, ain't you a little early for Father's Day?
Phil, you can stop with those cracks about my age already. You're not exactly a Boy Scout yourself.
Well, look, Jackson, at least I don't lie about my age. I say I'm 36, I'm 36.
A likely story.
Well, if you don't believe me, look at my union card. It says I'm 36.
Phil, I wouldn't believe your union card.
Why not?
It also says you're a musician. Come on, Mary, let's find our seat.
Would you like to sit with us, Phil?
No, Libby, I can't. See, I'm here with some of my boys. I got Kimmick, Remley, and Bagby.
Oh.
Hey, Jackson.
What?
Ain't that a shame about Sammy, my drummer?
Yeah. When will he be out?
Out? You mean he's in again?
Yeah, Libby, but it wasn't his fault this time. He just happened to step into a clothing store to buy a new suit.
Uh-huh.
Sammy tried on a snappy gray number and liked the way it fit him. The trouble started when he stepped outside to see how the suit looked in the sunlight.
Why should that start trouble?
Well, it was cloudy here, so he took the suit to Palm Springs.
You see, Mary, it wasn't Sammy's fault.
Yeah, it could happen to anybody. Anyway, Jackson, we'll have to do without him for a while.
Well, frankly, Phil, I can't say...
Ladies and gentlemen, the first game of today's doubleheader will be 9 innings. The second game will be 7 innings.
Come on, Jack. We better find our seat. The game's about to begin.
Okay. See you later, Phil.
Hey, wait a minute, Jackson. How about a small bet on the game?
A bet?
Yeah, I'll take Seattle for $100.
$100? Phil, that's too much to bet on anything. You wouldn't really bet that much, would you?
Sure I would. Why, once 5 years ago, I bet $1,000 that Alice had more money than Bing Crosby.
Gosh, did you win?
I don't know. They're both still counting.
Oh. Well, never mind the bet, Phil. See you later.
So long, Phil.
So long, kid.
Come on, Mary. Wait a minute. Here's our aisle. No, that's 35. We must be going in the wrong direction.
Well, this is absolutely ridiculous. If you're not going to ask an usher, I am.
Look, Mary, they always have some smart aleck guys here who always...
I don't care. I'm going to ask him anyway. Oh, usher.
Yes, miss?
Here are our stubs. Can you tell us where our seats are?
I'm awfully sorry, miss. This is my first day here, and I don't really know my way around yet.
Oh.
But that's the head usher right over there. I'm sure he can help you.
Yeah, I guess they must have changed all the ushers since last year. They're so much nicer now. I'll go over and ask the head usher. Pardon me, are you the head usher?
Who am I?
I knew it, I knew it. Come on, Mary, let's get out of here.
Jack, don't be a coward. Ask him.
Okay. Look, usher, can you tell me where my seat is?
Right behind you, isn't everybody?
That does it. Come on, Mary. I don't want to get into any more trouble with usher.
Well, Jack, it's your own fault. Maybe you antagonize him.
I do not.
You do, too.
You keep out of it. Okay. Mary, here are two empty seats right here. Let's sit down.
The first batter for Seattle is Pavlik.
Say, Jack.
Quiet, Mary. Here comes the first pitch.
Strike!
Boy, he really grooved that one in. You know, Mary, in this league, he's one of the best.
Jack, why is the catcher holding the ball? Why doesn't he throw it back?
I don't know. Everybody seems to be looking out.
Ladies and gentlemen, time is called momentarily. There's a man frying eggs on third base.
How do you like that? That must be Dennis's uncle.
Yeah.
Play ball.
Gee, that pitcher's got a great windup.
Play ball.
Where did it go? Where did it go?
Jack, look out! Look out! Here it comes!
Where? Where? Ooh.
Jack, are you hurt?
Ooh.
Usher, get some water, please.
You get the water. I'll stay here and slap his face.
Jack, get up, Jack. I'll take you home.
Oh.
Oh, mister, would you help me carry him out, please?
Well, sure, lady, I'll help you.
Oh, carry me past the box office. I want to get my money back. Hurry. I'm in the den, Rochester, listening to the ball game on the radio. I didn't get to see it.
Oh, well, I thought maybe...
Quiet.
Baker is up to bat. The pitcher winds up. Delivers. It's a long, long fly going towards left field. Looks like a home run. Yes, it's going over the fence. It's still going.
Ooh.
Boss! Speak to me! Say something!
Good night, folks.
The Jack Benny Show on Tuned to Yesterday from May 4th, 1952 on CBS. It would be less than a month later that band leader Phil Harris would leave the program after years with The Benny Show, and after their summer hiatus would return in September with a new band leader by the name of Bob Crosby. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier, And now Bob's well-known brother Bing stars in this next broadcast of the Gulf Screen Guild Theater alongside Bob Hope and Betty Grable. In the year of this next broadcast, Grable was starring in three motion pictures alongside Victor Moore and Carol Landis in I Wake Up Screaming, paired with Tyrone Power in A Yank in the RAF, and also was in Moon Over Miami with Don Ameche and Robert Cummings. This next episode first heard on CBS with Roger Pryor as host on February 23, 1941.
Your host, the director of the Star's own theater, Roger Pryor.
Good evening, everyone. Your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer and the Gulf Oil Companies welcome you to the Gulf Screen Guild Theater. Tonight is comedy night in the Gulf Theater, and what a cast we have for you. Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, and Betty Grable. You'll hear all three of these favorite stars in the most screwball comedy of the season, Alter Bound, a brand new farce by M.M. Musselman and Kenneth Earle. Our music will be by Oscar Bradley's Gulf Orchestra with Frank Tours conducting. We have a moment before Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and Betty Grable appear on the stage and take their positions before the Gulf microphone. So I'd like to ask you if you remember the last time you picked out a family automobile. You didn't just go to the nearest car dealers and take whatever came handy. No, sir. You looked into the whole business pretty carefully because, among other desirable features, you wanted a car that would perform well, that was a real pleasure to drive. Well, as we all know, but sometimes forget, selecting the car itself is only the first step in getting the best possible performance. It's just as important to select a good fuel for the motor of that car. And that's why we suggest that instead of just stopping at any gasoline pump, you stop at your neighborhood Good Gulf dealer. That applause, ladies and gentlemen, is the audience's greeting to our stars who are now entering from the wings. There's the downbeat and the opening theme of the Gulf Theater production of Alter Bound. Tonight you hear Bing Crosby as Ted, an out-of-work actor, Bob Hope as Hank, his also-not-doing-so-well pal, and Betty Grable as the girl. As the scene opens, Hank and Ted are sitting on a park bench staring hungrily at a flock of pigeons circling in front of them.
Hey, gee, those pigeons are nice and fat, aren't they?
Yeah. Why don't we wait around till after dark and slip one of them a hot foot?
Say, to hear you talk, Ted, anyone would think we aren't doing too well. What about last night? Wasn't it a swell room we had at the Waldorf Astoria?
Wonderful. What a dinner we had, boy, with those waiters in white coats and everything.
Yeah, and then breakfast in bed this morning.
Yeah.
Squab on toast, poached eggs, marmalade. Yeah. Give me a drag on that before you throw it away, will you?
Hey, Hank. Take a look at that guy throwing those edibles at the birds.
Throwing those what at the who? Those edibles.
Food. Here we are starving. What do you have to do to get somebody to throw that stuff at us, I wonder?
I'll tell you what. Let's climb that tree over there and make like we're going to Capistrano.
You know, Hank, for a guy that hasn't had any food in 2 days... You're in pretty good spirits.
Well, Ted, I've been holding out on you.
What?
You remember yesterday when I found that Sunday newspaper?
Yeah.
I ate it.
Not the funny paper, too.
Yeah, let's see Dick Tracy get out of that.
Well, at least you could have saved me the race results.
I used that for a napkin. And the weather report for a finger bowl.
Hey, Hank. Look at those two guys there. Look at them. The ones that just got out of the cab.
Yeah, top hat, Prince Albert, and striped trousers. They look like something that just stepped out of Esquire.
They got men in Esquire, too?
I don't look that far. Shh. Say, they're coming over to ward us.
I beg your pardon, but...
Well, look, if you two guys are undertakers, we're not ready yet.
We just want to find out if you fellows would like to make $100.
$100? Let them up, Ted.
We'll take the job. You just pick out the river. We'll get the bag and the cement.
Now, look, fellas, time. You have $100 that belongs to us. What do we have to do to get it?
Well, we want
to
play a joke on a friend of ours. See, he's getting married at that big church at 49th Street.
Never mind. Rock. Never mind all the preliminaries, friend. What do we have to do?
Well, we want you to go to this church, see? And then right in the middle of the wedding ceremony, you go up to the... Now, Don Carlos Gonzalez and
Joan Marwick. Before I pronounce you man and wife...
Stop!
You can't say stop. This is the wedding, Ma.
Okay, company halt.
What's the meaning of this?
Is this the woman, my good man?
That's her, officer. That's her. That's Bertha the bigamist, the woman who betrayed me.
I never saw him in my life. There's some mistake, Carlos. Carlos, believe me.
Oh, my goodness, he's passed out. He's fainted.
You won't get a chance to poison this one. You husband poisoner, you...
Husband poisoner?
Yes, according to our records, you poisoned 7 husbands. Killed 6 and gave 1 an awful stomach ache. You belong on Hobby Lobby.
I don't know what you hyenas are up to, but you won't get away with
it. Now, don't lose your temper, Bertha. I'll forgive you. For the sake of our children.
Children?
8. You remember?
No, 6.
I said 8.
Well, if you want to count the one with the 2 heads.
It's a frame-up. I'm innocent, I tell you, innocent.
Oh, that's what they all say.
Come along with us, Bertha the bigamist.
Let me go, I tell you.
Well, here we are, fellas. We're back, and here's your little bride. Gee, she's not a bad dish, either.
Yeah, I wish this was dish night.
Now, about the 100, fellas. What are you fellas staring at?
That's the wrong one. We don't know this girl.
What?
Well, look, fellas. We went to the 48th Street Church, just like you said.
48th Street? We said 49th Street.
Oh, come on. We better beat her before we get in trouble.
Hey, how about that C-note? Coward?
Well, now suppose you boys tell me what it's all about.
Well, it's a long, dull, and very uninteresting story. Yeah, you see,
You aren't really a detective, are you?
No, you see, we were sitting on...
Impersonating an officer, eh?
Oh, I wouldn't call it that. It was just a little...
And kidnapping.
Now, wait a minute here. You don't have to rub it in. You know you ruined our chances of making $100.
$100? And I ruined your chances.
Yeah, I bet you feel like a heel, don't you?
$100? Why, you no-good, low-down, cinder-brained baboon. I was marrying Don Carlos Gonzalez, the South American coffee planter.
Oh, that's nothing. What's that? I know a lot of them coffee guys. I knew Maxwell before he had a house.
$1 million worth of South American gentlemen. $1 million worth. And now I'll have to go back to the chorus. Third from the end.
Third from the end? I thought those legs looked familiar.
Bertha, the bigamist. Husband poisoner. And you were going to send me to jail.
Oh, we were only kidding.
Well, I'm not. Police! Help! Police!
Wait a minute. Wait. We'll do anything you want. Only don't call the police.
Yeah, we'll even go back to the church. We'll explain everything. Honest, we'll do anything you say.
Well, okay. Let's hurry back to the church, and I'll try to talk Carlos out of killing you.
Oh, okay, sister. And you either better be good at talking or good at digging.
Sorry, but Mr. Gonzalez was carried out by some friends.
Oh, maybe he's in one of the bars down the street.
Well?
He was carried out of there, too.
We've covered almost every bar within a mile square.
Why don't we try just this last one, huh?
What do you have, folks?
Don Carlos Gonzalez.
You tell me the ingredients and I'll mix it.
It isn't a drink. It's a man. Tall, dark, and very smooth.
It still sounds like a drink.
Well, have you seen him?
I don't know. There was one fella that said his wedding was...
That's the guy. That's him.
Oh, well, he said something about taking a plane back to South America.
Well, did he go to the airport?
I don't know. When he left here, he was high enough to meet the plane personally.
Transcontinental sleeper leaves in 5 minutes. Passengers will please go through gate number 5.
Hey, mister, where does the plane leave for South America?
It just left.
Yeah, well, who was on it besides Wookie?
Well, we tried anyhow, Hank.
Listen, Joan, believe me, if we had the money, we'd go to South America to square things for you.
You can.
What do you mean, we can?
Well, Carlos reserved a suite on the SS Southern Cross. We were going on a South American cruise for our honeymoon.
Oh, wait a minute. We can't go on a trip with you.
Well, why not? The boat leaves tonight. We can claim the stateroom.
Oh, I couldn't think of it. I haven't even picked out my trousseau.
What would Emily say? Of course not. We can't do a crazy thing like that. Why, we'll never get away with it.
Never.
We won't go on that honeymoon with you.
No.
We won't go.
Help, police! Help!
Okay, we'll go. For a moment, I was afraid I'd talked her out of it.
Carlos!
somebody's at the stateroom door. Must be the steward. Quick, Ted, get in the closet.
Oh, I've been in that closet so much I call the Maws by their first name. Well, go on in there and get their draft numbers. Go on, get in there. Remember, I'm the husband and you're the stowaway.
Okay, okay. Gee whiz.
Oh, gee.
Come in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Captain compliments. He always sends a cake to the occupant of the bridal suite.
Oh, well, thank you, Stuart. It's very thoughtful of him, but, well, he shouldn't have gone to all this trouble for us.
Oh, there's no trouble, madam. He really had the cake made for another couple, but it turned out to be a fraud. So he sent them to jail and the cake to you.
Yeah. Well, from the looks of that cake, I think they got the best of it.
Oh, thank you, sir. But if there's anything else you wish, just ask for it.
If you don't mind, Stuart, would you please get some ice water?
Yes, madam. You know, I've attended this honeymoon suite for 87 sips, and I make a point
of... Very interesting, Stuart. Get some ice water.
Yes, madam. You know, if I may say so, you're a very strange honeymoon couple, standing so far apart.
Yes, well, you see, we married each other for our money.
Oh.
It says here.
Now, don't be bashful in front of me. Go ahead, now. Kiss your little bride.
Oh, shucks.
Go ahead, now. Now, get closer. That's right. Now, a little closer. Now, kiss her. Now, what do you say, sir?
Never mind the water. Just bring the ice. What a benefit.
Ted, you can come out.
Now, look here, Hank. You've been taking advantage of a situation. You had no business kissing Joan.
Well, I was forced into it. That darn steward forced me into it. Bless him.
Well, then it's my turn to be forced into it.
Well, I'm not superstitious, but three and a kiss, that's practically sending an invitation to trouble. Oh, well, pardon me while I go in the next room and throw a few grains of salt over my shoulder.
The big man, he's always bragging about his strength.
Now, Ted, mustn't sulk.
Well, it's no more than right. See, we're partners in this thing, and if you kiss Hank, well, you got to kiss me.
Oh, you big baby. All right, here's a kiss for you, too.
I'm back with your eye for it, sir. Shall I,
Oh, well!
Better get a little more ice.
The minute your husband's back is turned and in my honeymoon suite.
Now, hold on here a minute. You got this thing all wrong, pal. I'm an old friend. Mm-hmm. Just happened to be passing by, so I thought I'd drop in for a minute.
Passing by? My dear sir, this is a ship.
Well, I came by in a grapefruit rind off the Queen Mary.
Well, you can't pull the wool over my eyes. You won't get away with it, sir. I'll tell her husband. Yes, sir, that's what I'll do. I'll tell her husband.
Hey, what's all the noise? What's going on in here?
Oh, it's terrible, sir. I just opened this door and found this strange man kissing your wife and in my honeymoon cabin. Oh, but don't worry. I'll tell him plenty. Yes, sir, I'll tell him plenty.
Okay, but not too loud, will you? I want to take a nap.
I'm going to tell the captain about this.
Oh, Hank. What is it, Ted? You remember what you said about inviting trouble?
Yes.
Well, it just accepted the invitation.
Time later in the honeymoon suite of the South America bound liner. The steward has gone in search of the captain to report finding Joan, who he thinks is Hank's wife, in the arms of a strange man. As our scene opens, Ted, the stowaway, is playing tunes on some half-filled glasses with a spoon as Hank and Joan sit dejectedly awaiting the arrival of the captain.
Gosh, I wonder what the captain will do to us.
Maybe he'll put us in the brig. Maybe he'll make us walk the plank. Maybe he'll tie us up on the yardarm.
Was your mother frightened by Charles Lawton? Hey, for heaven's sake, Ted, would you stop playing around with those glasses? Who do you think you are, Barrymore? We need you to... I wish you'd do a little worrying with us. Besides, that D-sharp's a little flat.
What have I got to worry about? I'm a stowaway, and I'll admit it. So what? They find me, the worst they can do is put me to work.
Hey, that's right. Then what are we worrying about?
Sure. Joan and I got nothing to worry about, after all. You're the fraud, you know.
Yeah. Me?
Sure. You said you were Gonzales, didn't you?
Yes, but I...
You aren't Gonzales, are you?
No, but... Look, Ted, we got to do something. Now, look, you've got brains. Go ahead, break them in.
Wait a minute, Ted, will you?
Quiet, quiet. I got it.
You have? What is it?
Listen here.
It was fiesta down in Mexico, and so I stopped a while to see the show. I knew that frenesy meant please love me, and I could say frenesy. A lovely senorita caught my eye. I stood enchanted as she wandered by, and never knowing that it came from me, I gently sighed frenesy. She stopped and raised her eyes to mine. She was longing to be kissed. Her eyes were soft as candle shine. So how was I to resist? And now without a heart to call my own, a greater happiness I've never known. Because her kisses are for me alone. Who wouldn't say frenesy?
Oh, that's a great country, that Mexico, Hank. You know, I had some frijoles down there one afternoon, late in the afternoon. A wonderful bunch of frijoles. You recognize that stuff?
Where are we? Oh, okay, Romeo, back to the closet.
All right, I'm going. Don't push. Come in.
Oh, it's you, Captain. This is an unexpected pleasure.
Thank you. I came to apologize for the steward. From what he told me, I'm sure he must have annoyed you with his silly superstitions.
Oh, the steward. Amusing chap. A chap? He's old-fashioned.
And by the way, you're supposed to be South American. Where did you pick up such good English?
In a pool room.
What?
Where did that voice come from?
Oh, yes, that voice. That's just one of my little jokes. I used to be a ventriloquist in vaudeville. That joke was part of my routine.
But vaudeville has been dead for years.
What do you think killed it?
Very amusing little trick.
Yes, I'm clever, isn't he?
You know, when I stopped outside your cabin, I heard you sing. You really have a very fine voice.
Thank you, sir.
Very clever, the way you throw your voice into that closet.
Yes, for two pins, I'd throw it through the porthole.
No, I'm not a suspicious man, Mr. Gonzalez.
Of course you're not, Cap.
Let me hear you sing.
Yes, when we get... You did what?
I say, let me hear you sing.
Yes, that's fine. I'll tell him when he comes in. I'd like to... I'd like to oblige, Captain, but my voice is changing.
Your voice changing on your honeymoon?
Yes, you see, I didn't have time for it when I was a boy.
Now, quit stalling and let me hear you sing.
Oh, but, Captain, let's not rush into this thing. After all, you can't expect a man to sing just like that these days. First, I have to clear my throat, and then I have to clear the song.
All right. I'm certainly going to have a look in this closet.
Now, Captain, don't you do something I'll be sorry for.
Get away from that closet.
There's no one in there but my ventriloquist dummy. Take my word for it, Captain. There's nothing in there but a dummy.
And I'll open this door and see for myself. You're right.
Gosh, that was a narrow escape. Oh, Ted, you can come out of the closet now.
Hank, put down that bait.
Quiet, Joan. I want to try it on for size. Ted! Come on out, Theodore, dear.
I can't. I'm sitting up with a thick mark.
Oh, Hank, we'll never find Gonzalez if you boys don't cooperate. The boat docks in Rio in a couple of minutes, and you've got to be ready to slip off.
Okay, come on out, Ted. But I still think it was a dirty trick.
How'd you like to be kept in the closet all the time?
Wait, Ted, where'd you get that new suit?
New suit.
Yeah, you went in with a blue suit, and now you're wearing a pepper and salt suit.
Those is the eating as maws I haven't.
Say, I hope Joan's in her cabin. Won't she be excited when we tell her the news?
Yeah.
I'm sure glad we found that Gonzalez, too.
Pretty place down here, though, isn't it? You know, this is the real rumba country, eh?
Yeah, where did that dance come from?
The rumba? Oh, that was invented by a chicken trying to hatch a hot potato.
Yeah, well, take my advice, Ted. If you see a girl doing the rumba down here, don't try to pick up her handkerchief until she drops it.
Good tip. Well, here's the cabin.
It's me.
It's us.
Yeah, it's him, too.
I kept the door locked for fear someone would come in and ask more questions.
Good thing, too. I just saw Clifton Fadiman sneaking along the hall.
Say, you've got nothing to worry about now, Joan. We found Gonzalez.
Yeah, he said he'd wait till we brought you to him, and that's just what we're going to do. What do you say now, Joanie? Come on, powder up your pretty little face. Let's get going, huh?
I'm not going.
Oh, Joan, gotta. We traveled 6,000 miles. Passed Eleanor 4 times. Besides, you love him. Okay, you said you did. Told me.
I thought I did. Well, but I'm in love with 2 other fellows.
Huh? We thought we were only kidding when we called you Bertha the Bigamist, huh?
Yeah, why don't you love Carlos, too, and you could be Tessie the Trigamist?
Joan.
Yes, Ted.
You know, I'm really kind of glad you changed your mind about Gonzalez. He's a swell guy and everything, but you know, you can't go on being in love with 2 other fellas. You got to choose between them.
I wish I could, Ted, but, well, I just can't hurt the other one.
Oh, she's trying to make it as light for you as she can, Ted. Do you see what she's driving at?
Yeah, I see what she's driving at.
Yeah, that's really something when you can see what a woman is driving at.
Come in. Carlos!
Oh, my little Chiquita, I couldn't wait any longer. Come fly with me. Fly away with me.
Now he thinks he's Superman.
Wait, Carlos. I have something to tell you. What? I don't know how to say it, but... Well, I'm in love with someone else.
What? Yep, Carlos, that's me. Sorry, it's a tough break.
Look at all of this. So, you have been toying with my car,
No, huh? Carlos.
And now you are tossing it around like a feather in the breeze. It tickles you, doesn't it?
Break it up, Gonzalez. I want to have a little talk with you. Step into my office. I want to talk to you.
I wonder what Hank wants to say to him.
Well, I'm back. Oh, I almost forgot to tell you. Carlos fell off the boat. I know what you're thinking. And you're right.
How could Carlos fall off the boat?
Well, I was playing yo-yo with him and his necktie broke.
Oh, that's ridiculous. We would have heard a splash.
Well, you know, this is a very high deck. A belly flopper.
He got the pointy toes.
Help! Help!
Oh, close the door, Hank. Close the door. I can't bear to hear him scream. That was a fine mess. Fine mess now. We'll be headed back to the States soon, and things are worse than when we started.
Open this door. Open this door, young lady. I just had a talk with Gonzalez.
There's our trouble now. There it is. It's the captain.
Who says that?
My dummy. Besides, where did you see Carlos?
I was fishing.
Don't expect me for dinner.
Tell that dummy to shut up and open this door, or I'll break it down.
Oh, Ted, I'm worried about you. If they find you, they'll probably make you wash dishes the rest of the trip.
And you're worried about Ted. The worst he can get is dishpan hands. What about me? I'll get thrown in the brig.
Hank.
Yeah?
Hank, I'm in love with Ted.
No.
I know how you feel about it, but... Well, that's how I feel about it. I don't want to hurt you, Hank, because... Gee, I think you're swell. I want to keep you as a friend, and, well, someday I know you'll meet the one girl who will mean the world to you. And when that day comes, we'll all be together again. So buck up, Hank. You've got broad shoulders. You can take it.
Oh, shut up!
What are you going to do, Hank?
I've got everything figured out, Joan. Get in the closet, Ted, and leave everything to me.
Thanks, Hank. You're a real
fan. Oh, it's nothing. I'll take it. Okay, I'm coming.
Well?
Hiya, Cap. Glad to see you.
You won't be when you hear what I've got to say. You're not married.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And everyone concerned with this hoax will be thrown in the brig.
What's the use of arguing so much, Captain? You've got the authority. If you don't believe we're married, just marry us all over again.
What?
Yes, that's a splendid
now,
idea.
Now, wait a minute, you double-crossed.
Now, snooky-ucky. You don't want to get thrown in the Iggy Briggy.
Just stand right over here.
That's right.
How do you take this woman for your lawful wedded wife?
Well, I... Who was that?
Oh, that was your dummy, remember, dear?
Oh, yes, my dummy. You know, I haven't painted him up for a long time. I think I'll go in the closet and give him a good shellacking.
Go ahead with the ceremony, Captain.
Yes. And you, young lady, do you take this man for your lawful wedded husband?
He does.
She doesn't.
I do.
I want a divorce.
But, my good man, if you want a divorce, you must get married first.
They certainly make it tough, don't they?
Quiet, please.
Now, if I'm not interrupting, I pronounce you man and wife.
Ted, we're married. Ted, what's that noise?
The
Mars is
throwing knife at me.
Ted, what does this mean? Who is Ted?
Oh, that's all right, Captain. Ted's my middle name.
Well, then, what's the dummy's name?
Oh, from now on, it's Hank.
Thanks, Hank.
Oh, that's all right, Joan. I can take it. I've got broad shoulders. I don't want to hurt you, Joan, because I think you're swell. I want to keep you as a friend, and someday I'll meet the one girl who will mean the world to me. And when that day comes, we'll all be together again. Perhaps you think I'm a fool. Well, maybe I am. Yes, I am a fool.
Oh, Hank, you're breaking my heart. What makes you talk like that?
I'm a sucker for a violin.
Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and Betty Grable well deserve that enthusiastic applause from our Gulfstream Guild Theater audience. As you know, this was their first appearance together on the air, and they were all splendid. The Gulf Theater is the only place on your dial where you can hear casts like ours tonight. For this is the Star's own program. In return for their appearances, the Gulf Oil Companies give generously to the Motion Picture Relief Fund for all its worthy charities.
The Gulf Screen Guild Theater on Tuned to Yesterday from February 23rd, 1941 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark DeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.